Well, good morning and welcome to Windy and Blustery Craigie Hill this morning. We welcome you to Craigie Hill Presbyterian Church to our morning reflection. Just before we get underway with just a couple of announcements, please remember our reflection this evening as we continue our series of the Westminster Larger Catechism. Ben is going to be taking us through tonight the role of the Holy Spirit in applying Christ, the role of the Holy Spirit. And then also on Wednesday, please do remember our midweek Zoom and prayer time at 8 p.m. You'll know by now that the link for that is on our church website. These are all the announcements. Well, we commence our reflection by reading from God's holy and infallible word, from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. This is God's word. When the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. Let us all pray. Sovereign Lord and Heavenly Father, we come to worship you today on this, your day, the Lord's Day. We come in adoration and in reverence and in fear to you, the one true and living God, who is worthy of all praise, glory, and honour. We recognise today that there's none other like you. You are holy, you are infinite, you are eternal and unchanging. There's none other like you. We cannot see you physically in the flesh, but we know that you're sovereign, Lord, and King of Kings. Father, we want to thank you that you are worthy of all praise. Father, we are a wicked and disobedient people, a people who choose our own way. The fall of man, as we see in Genesis chapter 3. Father, we see how sin entered the world and how we inherited Adam's sin. We see our fallenness, our brokenness. Father, our hearts are crooked and twisted to the things of God. But Father, we thank you that it was in your loving kindness, in your great mercy and your goodness, that you choose to fulfill your covenant promise in our lives, to save unto yourself a chosen people through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we want to thank you that it was through his sinless life, his atoning death, and his glorious resurrection that we know our sins forgiven. We want to thank you for his redeeming work of us, your people. He purchased us, he justified us, made us right in your sight. By your grace, brought us in to the family of the living God. We praise you that it's through Christ that the old is gone and the new has come. We thank you that it's through Christ that we can honour and glorify you, fulfil our purpose here on this earth. Father, we want to thank you that it's through Christ that we grow in grace, in love to the law of God, and seek to meditate on your word each and every day of our lives. Father, this morning from your word, we're going to see how you brought about a transformation in Saul's life. Once an enemy of the gospel, once a persecutor of the church, but by your grace and through the work of Christ, you transformed him to become your instrument, your mouthpiece, your ambassador with the gospel. Father, we want to thank you that it's only through Christ that we can experience that life change, transforming change in our lives. And as your children today, we praise and thank you for that. Father, we would pray as we have already done and we're going to be doing, read and hear your word proclaimed. We would pray that you would speak to us today. Lord, we would pray that even though that we're at home, in front of our TV screens, our laptops and our phones, and listening on the phone, even though we're not gathered, we would pray that we would be very aware of your presence, and Lord, that we would be ever aware of you speaking to us. Convict us of our sin, and may we be pointed to Christ this morning afresh. And may we be able to say today that he is our refuge and that our confidence is in him alone for eternal life. We pray these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, we continue in this reflection as we read God's word together. First, if you please turn to Isaiah. And we're going to read together Isaiah chapter 21, verses 1 to 10. And here we read of an oracle concerning the fall of Babylon. Let's hear God speak to us from Isaiah 21, verses 1 to 10. The article concerning the wilderness of the sea. As whirlwinds in the Negeb sweep on, it comes from the wilderness, from a terrible land. A stern vision is told to me, the traitor betrays and the destroyer destroys. Go up, O Elam, lay siege, O Midian. All the sighing she has caused, I bring to an end. Therefore my loins are filled with anguish. Pangs have seized me like the pangs of a woman in labor. I am bowed low so that I cannot hear. I am dismayed so that I cannot see. My heart staggers. Horror has appalled me. My twilight I long for has been turned for me into trembling. They prepare the table. They spread the rugs. They eat, they drink. Arise, O princess. Oil the shield, for thus the Lord said to me, go, set a watchman, let him announce what he sees. When he sees riders, horsemen in pairs, riders on donkeys, riders on camels, let him listen diligently, very diligently. Then he who saw cry out, upon a watchtower I stand, O Lord, continually by day. And at my post I am stationed all nights. And behold, here comes riders, horsemen in pairs. And he answered, fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the carved images of her gods he has shattered to the ground. O my fresh and winsome one, what I have heard from the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I announce to you. Amen. We also then turn to Acts chapter 9, verses 19b to verse 31. This is the text we'll be considering very shortly. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he saw proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out and among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenistics, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarshish. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Amen. God's word to us this morning is that Saul, the former persecutor, now proclaims Christ courageously. Saul, the former persecutor, now proclaims Christ courageously. Transformation. I read a story a number of years back about a lady from Chicago who had experienced a total transformation taking place in her life. The book remains in my study, but I don't know which book it was. And I can't remember anything else about the book by this story. And you'll be aware that I have shared this story with you before here in Craigiehill, and I do so again this morning, as I believe that it ties into our text here today, because this lady experienced a physical outward transformation in her life. And this morning from this text, we see how Saul is transformed. The lady in question was not house proud. If anything, the house was falling round her. Her appearance was nothing to write home about either. Her clothes were old and dated. Her hair was often greasy, and she cared little about personal hygiene. But one day, that all changed. One day, she landed into her place of employment with her hair done, and there was not a hair out of place. She had beautiful new clothes on, and she smelt radiant. Her colleagues were taken back. They were floored by the transformation. Her neighbours were also shocked to see an army of tradesmen working on her home, transforming the home from a dump to a state-of-the-art home. And everyone asked the same question: what has happened to your woman? The answer: she married a millionaire. This morning from our text, we see everyone is asking the very same question about Saul. What has happened to that man? He has transformed. He used to be a persecutor of believers of Jesus Christ. Now he is proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. He used to cause havoc on those who proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord. Now he is debating the Jews and proving to them that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the Lord. And what has happened? We saw last week, he experienced Christ, and Christ transformed his life. This man, Saul, the transformation, he once was the man who agreed to Saul's murder. But now he finds himself in the firing line. The Jews want Saul dead. In their eyes, he's a turncoat, he's a traitor. The disciples in Jerusalem are afraid of him. They just can't believe that he is now one of them. Saul has been totally transformed by the encounter he had with Christ on the road to Damascus. instead of being an enemy of the gospel, he is in fact God's chosen instrument to proclaim the gospel to the nations. John Stott states that Saul's early ministry was Christ-centered, driven by the Spirit, courageous and costly. From this text, we will see that after Saul's conversion, he proclaimed Christ Jesus as Lord immediately. We will see that Saul faced hostility for proclaiming Christ as Lord. And we're going to see how the church experienced peace. The church was built up in the faith. They feared the Lord, and the Lord God continued to add to their numbers throughout the whole region. It multiplied. Saul, the former persecutor, now proclaims Christ courageously. Let's work our way through the text, and then we will seek its application. From verse 19b, we see that Saul spends a period of time with Christ's followers in Damascus. We're not informed how long this period of time was. In verse 20, the text tells us that immediately Saul proclaimed Christ in the synagogues. Immediately after what? He immediately preached that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, following his encounter with Ananias. Ananias had been sent by God to Saul. Ananias ordained Saul by the laying on of hands. Saul regained his eyesight and was filled with the Holy Spirit. He then was baptized, and immediately after these events, Saul is found in the synagogues proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the only occasion in the book of Acts that we read of Jesus being called the Son of God. What does Saul mean by calling Jesus the Son of God? Saul is saying that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. He is the one that the prophets spoke of to come as the Son of God. Saul has seen with his own eyes and heard with his own ears the living, resurrected and glorified Jesus speaking to him. Saul is speaking of Jesus daily. Saul is preaching to the Jews in the synagogues in Damascus that Jesus Christ is the promised one who was sent of God to provide redemption for his people. From verse 21, we see the reaction of all those who heard him proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The text tells us that they were amazed. They were floored. How can this man say with such certainty that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Is this man Saul not the man who persecuted Jesus' followers in Jerusalem? This man sought to destroy Christ's church. He sought to rid the earth of anyone who claimed to be a follower of Jesus. His purpose of coming to Damascus was to arrest Christ's followers and to bring them before the religious establishment. But now this very same man proclaims that Christ is Lord. Everyone who heard Saul was stunned. The man who had travelled to Damascus to persecute Christ's followers is now proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. Saul's goal in life was no longer to persecute followers of Jesus. Now his goal in life was to proclaim the gospel message. In verse 22, we see that Saul is becoming stronger in his ability to preach Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah, the Son of God. His preaching of Christ is spirit-filled. It is effective. He is enabled to make a strong and firm defense of the gospel. Saul confounded the Jews as he, by God's grace, was able to prove to the Jews in Damascus that Jesus Christ was in fact the Son of God. Saul threw himself into their theological debates, and he was continually able to defend the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the Jews, Saul was a turncoat. He was a traitor. Saul, the former persecutor, now proclaims Christ courageously. Some may have seen Jews converted to Christ by his proclamation in Damascus. There's no doubt that the church was built up and encouraged by his witness. In verse 23, we see that the Jews who seen Saul as a traitor decided action needs to be taken. The text tells us that they wanted him dead. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 32 to 33, we see Paul speaks to the church in Corinth of this very event. He says at Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in the basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. Saul's conversion was causing trouble in Damascus, trouble that needed to be suppressed and dealt with. Paul, Saul, who becomes Paul, Paul is clear that the governor of Damascus had ordered for his arrest. The Jews wanted Saul dead. They had plotted and arranged how they were going to execute Saul. They knew that his proclamation of Jesus Christ would lead to a further spread of the gospel. The Jews were that hungry for Saul's blood that the gates of Damascus were watched round the clock each and every day of the week. Verse 24 tells us that Saul was made aware that his life was in danger, and verse 25 informs us of Saul's great escape from those who saw his blood. Followers of Christ in Damascus enabled Saul to escape the wrath of the Jews by placing Saul into a basket a bit like a food hamper. The text tells us that they lowered Saul down the walls of Damascus through an opening in the walls, perhaps a window in the walls. Saul, Christ's chosen instrument, lived to preach another day. Saul, the former persecutor, now proclaims Christ courageously. From verses 26 to 30, we see Saul once again proclaiming Christ boldly, this time in Jerusalem. In verse 26, we see the disciples in Jerusalem don't buy Saul's conversion story. He came to the disciples claiming to be one of his own. As far as they are concerned, he was a liar. They were petrified of this man. They knew who he was. He was the great persecutor. He was their enemy as far as they were concerned. From verse 27, we see how Barnabas comes to Saul's rescue. He acts as a sponsor for Saul. Barnabas encourages the apostles to accept Saul's testimony as a follower of Jesus Christ. Barnabas is clearly convinced by Saul's testimony. Barnabas informs the apostles of the events that took place on the Emmaus Road of the Lord Jesus Christ, revealing himself to Saul. Barnabas also informs them how Saul proclaimed Christ in Damascus. Barnabas' reassurance to the apostles enables them to accept Saul as one of the followers of Jesus. In verses 28 to 29, we see Saul proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord in Jerusalem. The text tells us that Saul preached boldly, making a strong defense of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in Jerusalem, Saul also experiences opposition to the message that Jesus Christ is Lord. Saul, as we can see from the text, has a run-in with the Hellenistics, those who had been behind Stephen's death. Saul engages in theological debates with the Hellenistics. As far as the Hellenistics are concerned, Stephen was a pussycat compared to Saul. They hated Stephen. They despised Saul. He had changed his colours. He was a traitor. He was a lumpen. Saul's bold campaign preach in Jerusalem led to the Hellenistics seeking his blood. They despised Christ and they despised Saul for proclaiming Jesus as Lord. The tension in Jerusalem got so hot, it rose to such an extent that his brothers saved his life by taking him to Caesarea. And there they placed him on a boat for Tarsus. Saul, the former persecutor, now proclaims Christ courageously. Luke in verse 31 speaks of the church of Jesus Christ in three regions: Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. The church in these three regions is at peace, even though they're experiencing pressure. Peace has led to the church being strengthened. The strength is rooted in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The church feared the Lord and it grew in numbers. How are you and I to apply this text to our lives today? Believer, can we see the hand of the Lord God at work through our text today? It was God who brought about a transformation in Saul's life. It was God, by his grace, who brought Saul to saving faith in Jesus Christ alone. God transformed Saul from being his enemy to becoming his mouthpiece and bringing the message of the gospel to the nations. The Spirit of God filled Saul, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord. But Saul did not choose to receive God. God chose to save Paul. And just as God has done that in Saul's life, believer, he has done that in our lives. And to him be all the glory. It was God who brought a peace to his church in the regions of Judea and Galilee and Samaria. It was God who strengthened his church. It was God who enabled his church to grow in the comfort of the Spirit. It was God who enabled his church to fear the Lord. And it was God alone who enabled his church to grow. Saul, the former persecutor, now proclaims Christ courageously. Believer, from this text, we see a firm focus on gospel proclamation. Saul was God's anointed instrument. We see how the Lord, for his own glory, blesses gospel proclamation. Saul proclaimed Christ boldly. He defended the gospel and God gave the increase. In days of great persecution, the church multiplied. We are living in days where some would try and tell us gospel proclamation is a thing of the past. Some would try and tell you that preaching is a thing of the past. They claim that gospel proclamation will not produce church growth. To those with such a mindset, can I tell you that your mindset is unbiblical? Believer, do you remember the words of Paul in Romans 10 and verse 17? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing to the word of Christ. Believer, do you remember the words that Paul taught Timothy in 2 Timothy verses, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7? We looked at them last year. Fall instructed Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. Paul was telling Timothy, remember your ordination. Paul charged Timothy in the presence of God to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Believer, God in his grace and mercy uses the proclamation of his word to save sinners. Believer, God in his grace has used and is using his word to convict you and I of our sin. And God has and is using his word to convince you and I of our need of Christ. I was in Union College on numerous occasions. Different church leaders from Ireland in and many other parts of the world was brought in to do a lecture with us. These really were brilliant learning occasions. Men of wisdom passing their wisdom on to another generation of younger men. On one such occasion, a man who the Lord had blessed with a very fruitful ministry explained to us as ministry students how he once was asked, what was the key to build a successful church? Well, this wise man's reply was this: it fully is a work of the Lord. And he went on to testify that all that he had done was to pray and preach. Pray and preach. And the Lord brought forth the increase. Congregation here in Craigiehill, continue to be a praying people. You are a praying people. Continue to do that. Pray for those who open and proclaim God's word in this place week by week. Continue to do what you're already doing. Pray that God will continue to use the reading and proclamation of his word for his own glory and the advancement of his kingdom, as he promises that he will. Saul, the former persecutor, now proclaims Christ courageously. Congregation, we also see from this text how Saul faced hostility towards the message of the gospel. Believer, the early church in the days of the apostles faced hostility towards the gospel, and we in our generation should be ready to face hostility and persecution. It's already happening. This very week in Larne, two men in our town who were out preaching the truths of the scriptures were asked to consider not proclaiming the truth of God's word, as other people within our own community were offended by the truth of God's word. Complaints had been made. The day of free speech in our land is over. The day has come when many within our society will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They have turned from the truth and wander off into myths. The day has come when many within our society would love to see and would demand that the church would be silenced from proclaiming biblical truth. Believers, followers of Christ, we are called to endure suffering. Any suffering we will face as followers of Christ is nothing compared to the humiliation our Saviour faced as he lived and ministered on this earth and as he made atonement for our sins on Calvary's tree. Believer, do not fear those who are hostile to the gospel. Instead, fear the Lord. He is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. Fear him who can condemn both body and soul to the place of outer darkness. Remember, believer, the suffering or hostility that we will face for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will be temporal. It's only for a very short time when compared to all of eternity. Christ will call time on this age, and we then will be with the Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Saul, the former persecutor, now proclaims Christ courageously. Today, can you testify that Jesus Christ is Lord? Is he your Lord? Has he done that work of transformation in your life? Are you his enemy or are you his child? If you remain outside of Christ this morning, hear the words of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He can save you from your sin, not because of any works that you have done, But according to his great mercy, goodness, and loving kindness, today, if the Lord in his grace enables you to respond to the gospel, come to Christ. Become an heir of God who has that God-given hope of eternal life. Amen. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we praise and thank you for your goodness and loving kindness and mercy to us, your people. We praise you for your free gift of salvation through the perfect life and atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in these days we would pray that you would continue to build your church as your word is proclaimed week by week. We would ask, Father, that you would bring about the increase. Father, we do pray this morning in intercession for loved ones, for family members who are as yet outside of Christ, who as yet have not been able to respond to the gospel. Father, we would ask that by your grace, according to your will and your timing, Lord, that you would bring forth salvation. Lord, we would long to see that work of transformation taking place within their lives. Father, today we also remember those working within our National Health Service. Father, we want to thank you with the speed that the COVID vaccine has been rolled out here within our land. And Lord, we would pray, Lord, for a good continued supply of that medicine to reach our shores. Lord, we do look forward to the day when this time of trial and judgment will pass. And Lord, we would pray in these days of judgment that you would remember mercy. Lord, we would ask that you would just not heal our land of this pandemic, but Father, that you would heal it of the greatest of all pandemics, the greatest of all enemies, the enemy of sin. Lord, as the wind is howling and blowing about now, we would ask, O Lord, if it be your will, that you would visit our land and spread right across it like a mighty wind, just as you done in the days of Pentecost. Father, we pray for our government here in Belfast, for those who you have called to this high office. Pray, Lord, especially for them this week as they continue to have meetings considering the future of this lockdown or the relaxation of it. Lord, we pray that you will lead and guide them. Lord, give them great wisdom in these days. And ultimately, Father, we pray that your will be done. Father, we also, our denomination asks us to pray for the work of the Linkage Commission. And Father, we do remember its meeting on February the 23rd. We pray, Lord, for James Livingstone, the convener of that commission. Lord, in their deliberations as they seek to find a way forward for congregations who find themselves vacant at this time, we ask, O Lord, that they would know your leading and guiding in the right direction. Father, this morning we do remember those who are ill at this time. Lord, we remember, Lord, one particular family down in Whitehead. Lord, you know them, you know their situation. And Lord, we just say, lift them up before your throne of grace and ask that you, the good physician, that your will be done. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.